The World Series celebrated its centennial last year, and maybe appropriately, so do the New York Yankees. They're a team that's won a record 39 American League pennants and a whopping 26 World Series titles. But have they done it because they have the most passion or because they have the most money? This year, with the addition of A-Rod, the Yankees' payroll has peaked to an astonishing $183 million. Historian Henry Fetter tackles the question of the Yankees in his new book called Taking On the Yankees.
They spend a lot, but they get results. Money is not the sole answer. You look at the teams like the New York Mets, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Texas Rangers, until this year the Boston Red Sox. They were spending lots of money, and they did not get comparable results. Money is not now and has never been the answer. The key issue is how the money is spent.
Yeah.
And it is true the Yankees have had the money. They've taken advantage of the fact that they do play in the largest market in the nation. But throughout their history, they've demonstrated an ability to spend the money more prudently and wisely and effectively than their competitors.
There is a lot of money in baseball these days. I mean, it's not just the Yankees. There's money being made in most markets, right?
Baseball is in the strange position of underestimating their profitability. When Bud Selig goes before Congress, he wants to make a case that baseball is losing money. Most outside economists and experts make a more compelling case that baseball is making huge amounts of money. Most teams are doing well. Attendance is generally much higher than it was even as recently as 10 years ago. There was a downturn after the strike, but attendance has recovered.
The 94 strike really changed things in baseball, at least for a little while. Fans have come back now, but for a while they were really angry. Did it affect the Yankees the same way that it did the rest of baseball?
I think that what the legacy of the strike was, it made the Yankees always the epitome to many of the most imperialistic and capitalist tendencies in sport. And they didn't mean it as a compliment. The allies of the players, as we've seen in recent negotiations, because it is the Yankees and the players which are united in resisting any attempt to cap salaries, while many owners in smaller cities would like to do that. So one legacy of the strike was to make, you know, the New York Yankees the ally of baseball's working man, if you can call the multimillion-dollar players working men.
Well, and you talk about the Yankees ruining baseball, or some people do and complain about it. There are others who say that it's the players' greed that's been that, or the combination of the two. I mean, Alex Rodriguez getting, what was it, $252 million from the Texas Rangers to go play there? That's a lot of money. And the fans look at that and say, oh, wow.
If player, quote-unquote, greed has ruined baseball, it's been ruining baseball for the past 100 years. I actually begin my book with an account of the baseball world in 1902, 1903, just before the American Leagues and National Leagues entered into the agreement which still basically governs the structure of baseball today, where the sporting press was excoriating player greed, and one baseball official said the players had pushed the owners into the last ditch with their exorbitant salary demands. And that was in 1902. So again, if player greed has been ruining baseball, it's been ruining baseball for 100 years throughout all the years and decades that we celebrate as the great moments and great eras in the national pastime.
Well, and we've seen some of the small market teams actually do fairly well. The Twins have surfaced, for instance, as a pretty good team in spite of not having a huge salary base to spend. Kansas City looked like it was going to be good for a while.
It is not beyond the realm of possibility, and the issue of large market versus small market is not a new issue. It's been something that has been talked about for the last 100 years. In the early 20th century, it's even mentioned in a Hemingway short story where Nick Adams and a friend are fishing and they're Cardinal fans, and it's sometime during World War I, and they're musing on a rainy day, and one says to the other, "Do you think we'll ever get to see a World Series game?" And I think Nick says, "I don't think so. They're all in New York or Philadelphia." So St. Louis was the prototypical small market team that managed to produce a winning tradition that has maintained itself over the years.
And yet, you have the Yankees, the Yankees, the Yankees. Every year it's the Yankees. I know this hasn't been true always, but if you look back over the history of World Series, they've won some astonishing number of postseason games.
They have definitely been the most successful sports franchise in professional sports. And whether it was Jacob Rupert or George Steinbrenner, they have taken full advantage of the money resources available, and they have managed to communicate a will to win from the top down that may be lacking in other organizations. Jacob Rupert once said his idea of a perfect ball game was for the Yankees to take an 8-0 lead in the first inning and then slowly pull away. And that may not make for the most exciting afternoon at the ballpark, unless you're a diehard Yankee fan, I suppose. But it is that attitude that they've managed to communicate and has persisted, obviously, under George Steinbrenner, who could give Jacob Rupert a run for the money in his will to win.
Now, of course, in the history of baseball, money has been important. Nobody's going to deny that. And the money that the Yankees have had is an important part of their success. Is money going to kill baseball?
I think the issue of money has been present throughout the sport. I think what ultimately matters is the quality of play on the field. I think there is a danger in too much attention to the money. We're in an era when movies seem to be defined by their opening box office receipts, which are printed in every newspaper in the country and discussed on television obsessively, which was not true until the last 10 or 15 years. Now, baseball and economics and money has also been covered extensively over the years, but it is certainly more important now in the coverage the game receives. And too much attention to it is probably not in the quote-unquote best interests of baseball, but I don't think it's avoidable because the money does have an impact on team performance. About 40 years ago, when the New York Yankees were purchased by CBS, a sports writer wrote that baseball is strictly a business to those who make money off those for whom it is strictly a sport. And the former is true, but I think the fan base is now much more attuned to business issues than was previously the case. I wish there was a way to divorce the play on the field from the money issues more, but I don't think there is, and I don't think it's necessarily fatal, as long as we remember what it is that we care about in the first place, which is how the players perform.
Henry Vetter's book is called Taking on the Yankees, Winning and Losing in the Business of Baseball, 1903 to 2003.